Hello, fellow Vikings fans. I'm Scotty Ball, and welcome to the Wednesday War Room here on VikingsDigitalDiaries.com, where each week we're sitting down, going through all the games on the NFL schedule, trying to give you all the insight and everything you need to know to make your fantasy football's teams as competitive as possible. And joining me, as always, is my co-host with the utmost, Miles Gorham. How you doing this week, Miles?
I'm good, Scotty. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Hanging in there on a rainy Wednesday. So, first things first again, because I know the tens of hardcore listeners that we have so far. I know what they're most interested in and emotionally invested in as fans is the results of our weekly head-to-head fantasy matchups. And so before we get started dissecting the games for you this week on the NFL schedule, I got to give the results of me and Miles head-to-head battle last week, and we made history yet again, Miles. Yes, this was our fourth head-to-head matchup, and for the first time in those four events, we have a tie.
A tie, okay.
That is right. Team Miles and Team Scotty tied at 45 points apiece here this week. You had Andy Dalton, Devontae Freeman, Meredith from the Bears at wide receiver, and Gronkowski at tight end. I had Bortles, DeMarco Murray, Terrell Pryor Sr. at wide receiver, and Delanie Walker. And yeah, we both had the one-point duds, one-point dud each at wide receiver. Everything else was pretty neck and neck across the board. And yeah, we ended up with a 45-45 tie.
So. All right. Well, we'll have to figure out some tiebreakers down the road.
Yeah, definitely. At least come end of the regular season for our playoffs or championship match. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll definitely have to have some kind of tiebreaker. But yeah, I it was cool to see because I was coming off the blowout. Like, you blew me out 2 weeks ago, so I was just happy to be competitive once again. I'll try to remain worthy competition for you here again this week. But no promises. No promises.
I'm not worried.
All right. Well, we're going to kind of start. Normally, we start with the Vikings game, and then we work through the schedule. And this week, the Vikings are playing on Monday night, and we're going to start with the Vikings anyway, even though they are the last game on the NFL schedule this week, because that's our team. That's who we're devoted to as a website. So going into this Vikings-Bears game, man, the Vikings offense, the Vikings defense even, just looked like a completely different team that we hadn't seen yet this year, this past week. The Bears, Hoyer's out, Cutler's back in. Who knows which team that's a good thing or a bad thing for? That's yet to be determined, but it'll be a bad thing for somebody. And a good thing for the other. Let's just start with the Vikings, with our team. You got a Bears defense that's fairly good against the pass. Not as good against
surprisingly.
Vikings dead last in the league, or towards the bottom at least for sure. I have to double check. In running the ball, so, you know, and our offensive line, can we pass block anybody at this point in time? Any reason to be hopeful for any of the possible plays on the Vikings standpoint in this game?
For fantasy, it's just kind of one of those, the Vikings are kind of reverting back to last season where you might have a guy or two who contributes. You know, last year you had a guy like Adrian who was a must start every week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you had guys like Stephon Diggs who were, you know, week-to-week basis, and then Kyle Rudolph was, you know, pretty touchdown-dependent.
As are a lot of tight ends nowadays.
Right. Especially this season, tight ends have been kind of a crapshoot besides the Gronkowski's of the world. But for the Vikings on offense right now, Scotty, I think, you know, before last week against the Eagles and, you know, that kind of disappointing game, mm-hmm. the Vikings were, you know, they had the players, you know, wasn't consistent all around. I think Rudolph might have been the most consistent player throughout the season, you know, for fantasy aspects. But, you know, Bradford was consistent in fantasy. In one of my leagues, he was He's available in most leagues right now, which is, you know, makes sense. But I was looking at his stats on ESPN for fantasy, and it looked, he was, you know, posting, you know, 14, 15 points, you know, every once in a while, sure, a 20-point game here and there. So, you know, you kind of had the he was fairly consistent in fantasy, but, you know, nothing to blow you away with. But right now it's just, you know, with the way that pass protection is looking, it's not all that exciting. And then you got a guy like Jerick McKinnon who's kind of hurt his ankle. So that's something you got to keep an eye on. Not too sure about what that's about, but yeah. I would definitely keep an eye on. If anything, I think that makes Matt Asiata more valuable.
Right.
And I know with a lot of teams on bye this week, he could be a potential, you know, plug and play for the week, because I think we'll see him see the field a little bit more just with him being with McKinnon being banged up. And then I still think a guy like Stephon Diggs is, he still looks like he's not 100%. So he's a guy for me against, like you said, a pretty good Bears pass defense.
Yep.
I'm not sure if I'm rolling out with him just until we see him get 100%. And then Rudolph, for me, I think Rudolph's still a pretty decent play because he gets the targets and he's the red zone option when they get down there usually. So
I agree. I think for me in this game, if you're in a PPR league, then mm-hmm. I think you can feel a little bit better about rolling out the Diggses and Rudolph and maybe even a Thielen, because with the offensive line that you mentioned being in the state it's in, and with the Bears having a good pass defense, not giving up a lot down the field, you would think there's going to be quite a few checkdowns, you know, and quick three-step, five-step drops, get the ball out of Sam's hands and try to make yards after the catch opportunities. So I think if you're in a PPR league, maybe some of those receiving core members are a little bit better of a play this week than you would think. But, yeah, I'm not big. What about the Vikes defense? The best defense, you know, in the league. And then just last week was a fluke, and Cutler coming back is going to be a good thing for the Vikings, not the Bears. Am I right?
Well, yeah, and, like, they still played really well last week. They created, what was it, 3 or 4 turnovers? I think it was 4. They created 4 turnovers, and they should have had 2 defensive touchdowns.
Right.
The Anderson Dejo thing still baffles me. Like, I mean, he ended up getting hurt, which is kind of he's been a pretty unsung hero for that defense so far this year. But
agreed.
All he had the left side of the field wide open, and he goes right in the heart of right in the heart of it. And if he just goes left, he has an easy walk-in touchdown. And so, still a little upset about that, because that one, I mean, should have been a touchdown, and that could have changed the whole scope of the game. But,
I think I was just as bothered by the one where I can't remember who recovered the fumble, but he just fell on it.
Yeah.
And there was
that one,
he had 3 teammates around him and nothing but open green grass in front of him. Like, he could have took the time to, like, he could have stood back up after he fell on the ball. He had that much time yet before they got to him. He was just already,
I think, the biggest issue with that one, though, is just, you know, maybe him not knowing who was coming and just wanted to make sure that you secure the ball, which is always the most important thing.
Right.
So that one I'm not as mad about. It's just a day one that kind of bothers me a little bit. But, I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, but overall, I still think the defense played really well. They created a lot of turnovers, you know, almost scored. They put the offense in a lot of good positions. And, besides the kickoff return for a touchdown, which I'm pretty disappointed about. But overall, they didn't give up any big plays. You know, they're consistent like they have been all year. And they put the offense in a chance in – position to win the game and, you know, be competitive. So I think it was more the offense than the defense last week.
Sure. So what are we looking at on the Bears side from a fantasy standpoint? We had Meredith have 2 great weeks at wide receiver in a row, and then had, I want to say, 1 catch for 12 yards last week.
Yep.
Not sure where injuries are at with Jeffrey. Langford in the
sounds
backfield.
Like Jeffrey's
or Howard,
all right.
Excuse me, in the backfield. And yep. Cutler coming back. What are the Bears looking like?
Yeah. So, I mean, Cutler's coming back. I mean, that's kind of good news for them just because they just lost Hoyer for at least 8 weeks. But for me, this is just like most weeks for most offenses. I'm not really excited about any of those guys just because of how well the Vikings defense has been. They're first in the league in against the pass and giving up, you know, just under 200 yards a game. And then And then on the rushing, they're just they're second in the league in rush yards allowed with just over 81 yards a game. So there's nothing that really excites you for the Bears, you know, just for that aspect. And you know, against a guy like Jay Cutler, I would expect, you know, a turnover or two at least. So I kind of treat this game kind of similar to how like Houston, in the fact that like, you know, you got Alshon Jeffrey as DeAndre Hopkins and Cameron Meredith, kind of their Will Fuller. And then Jordan Howard's, you know, the Lamar Miller.
Yep, yep.
And, I mean, you could kind of compare Cutler and Osweiler. And
sure.
They're, you know, they're gunslingers. They're guys with good arms, but they don't make the best decisions, and their accuracy is not all that good. And I still think, you know, Cutler coming back from that thumb injury, you know, we don't know what he'll be like. So, I don't know. I think the sky's the limit for that Vikings defense.
Wow, hey, I just want to say right now, if by some chance before the trade deadline in the NFL, the Bears and the Texans do that quarterback trade straight up, like, we got to build you some kind of statue or something. Like, just amazing. I could see it, though. I could see it. But so with the health on the Bears side, is Jeffrey close to fully healthy yet, or is he still banged up? And how is Howard feeling? Because I think those are your two mainly, you know, the biggest considerations you'd have from a fantasy standpoint. In this
No, game. I totally agree. And I think, you know, maybe Meredith might, you know, in PPR league might get you something just because the focus will be more on Jeffrey than it might be on a Meredith. But, you know, that could – same with Zach Miller. But Jordan Howard seems to be okay. You know, he's healthy. And then Jeffrey seemed to get – he's pretty close, if not to 100% right now. I know there's not – I mean,
fantasy owners who have him.
Right. Yeah. Right. But I know that they've been looking at potentially trading him, if that, you know, potentially. So I don't expect it to happen, but I know the Eagles have called about him, so.
Ooh. That'd be a nice toy for Carson Wentz to have pair with Jordan Matthews if they could hang on to him, you know, in the trade.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Boy, I don't think we got anything else on that game on the Vikings.
Not really.
Bears game
Monday night. As a fan, I'm excited just because you want to see the Vikings turning it back around. But for fantasy, it's not a game I'm excited about.
Right. Last week we brought up my last thought on the Vikings. I think here that I just had last week we touched on a little bit. We used Drew Brees and the Saints as the example. You brought him up. And just how it can be night and day, or how much different it can be when a team's on the road, as opposed to playing at home. Do you think either team, you know, stands much to gain or lose based off of this game being in Chicago, or do you think it's just going to be a solid bounce back opportunity for a superior team in the Vikings to come back and win?
Well, a big thing, you know, before last season, the Vikings hadn't won in Chicago, and I think since like 2007 or 2008,
can't remember. Yeah, you're right.
One of those 2 years, but so that still could be lingering. It still could be a thing. You know, the Vikings have come out slow on the road this season, so you'd like to see them come out swinging right away, especially on the road, just because I always, you know, it's always, you know, home team should always have the advantage, at, you know, in something. And I think the grass field in Chicago has never always been that great. And, so are all that great? Excuse me. So I mean,
did you just predict some Blair Walsh terrorism here on Monday?
I don't know
night?
If it's Blair Walsh more so than I just think the offense in general.
Sure.
But you'd like to see them come out firing right away. So that'd be my only thing. So I just, you know, something to think about.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if we win the coin toss Monday night, kick and put Cutler on his back as many times as you can in those first three downs, and you know, set the tone and move on from there.
Oh yeah.
But speaking of moving on, I think that's what we'll do here, and we will go from our beloved Vikings on Monday night, the last game on the schedule this week. That's the only thing I hate about it, is having to wait all the way till Monday.
Yeah.
But we got football starting up tomorrow night here on Thursday, as there is every week. This week it is an AFC South battle between mediocrity and mediocrity, because that's all there is in that division. It's a four-way tie for mediocrity. And we've got the Jaguars at 2-4 on the road against the Titans at a whopping overachieving 3-4. So,
yeah.
I think from a fantasy standpoint, though, more so than usual, at least in the Thursday night games for me, which I like to avoid if I have the option to. I kind of like several of the plays in this game, especially the DeMarco Murray for the Titans at home against the Jaguars defense that's been underwhelming, to say the least, so far this year. And then with Mariota starting to become more consistent from week to week and Delanie Walker back healthy, I think you've got three strong plays at least on that side of the ball. And then, boy, I don't know. You feel the Titans, at least those three big-name Titans, are all pretty solid plays this week at home against the Jags?
Definitely. I think DeMarco Murray, he just continues to show that he's a must play every week, and he's one of the top five fantasy backs right now and just continues to be that. So he's a guy, to me, he's a must play, you know, top RB1 all season unless anything changes. And then I do like Mariota this week just because I like his combination of, you know, he's kind of like that Russell Wilson when Russell Wilson's healthy. You know, obviously he's not as good of a passer, and, you know, he's still young, but he's not quite as consistent. But, boy, he sure can run when he's, you know, and they give him the opportunities too. So that makes him more fantasy relevant just with the fact that he gives you the rushing yards too.
Sure.
You know, he might not light it up 300 yards and four or five touchdowns or whatever, you know, like a Drew Brees, but he'll get you the 200, 225, you know, maybe a touchdown or two, and then, you know, maybe 50 yards rushing, and then you hope for a touchdown. So it kind of all balances itself out when he's on his game, which I think he's played really well as of late. So I think he's a good play this week with a lot of teams on bye. So I do like Mariota. Spoke on Murray a little bit earlier, and then his go-to guy, Delanie Walker's, you know, he's the guy to me, he's one of the top tight end plays this week, just because I think a lot of the focus will be on the run game, so I think, you know, it might open things up for Delanie.
Completely agree. Any sleeper or value plays on that Titans side yet before we go to the Jags?
I mean, Kendall Wright, every once in a while when he's healthy, he's a decent slot player, but I really don't. Their passing game doesn't excite me at all besides, you know, Delanie Walker.
Sure.
So not really. I mean, and then, you know, on the Jaguars defensive side, Jalen Ramsey, I don't know if you caught that game at all, but he did really well against Amari Cooper. I mean, there was a few plays there where Cooper had him but didn't get the ball thrown his way, but I think that was a really good matchup last
week.
Sure.
Sure. No, that's a good point. I think, I'd probably have to agree with you. I think if there was a value play on the Titans side, in my opinion, it would probably be their defense, because their defense is top half in the league, both against the run and against the pass. And the Jaguars have not been, very impressive or even had much of an identity of any kind on offense this year with the run or the pass. Still trying to work Chris Ivory in, still trying to get that passing game and those receivers, the Allen's brothers, clicking like they did last year. So I just, with it being in Tennessee too, especially, I could see their defense being a nice value play for someone this week. Before we get to the buys, because you brought it up twice, and I definitely should have brought it up before then. Which teams are on bye this week?
Yeah, so it's starting to get to the thick of things with, you know, the bye weeks. We have five teams on bye, or six teams, excuse me. You got Baltimore, you got Los Angeles Rams, Miami, New York Giants, the Steelers, and San Francisco, the 49ers. So you're missing some you're missing some fantasy guys there, especially, you know, with the Steelers, Giants, and then, surprisingly, the Rams.
Yeah.
So you're missing some, a couple players for the Dolphins as well. You're missing some key guys, you know, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown.
Yes.
Those are huge guys. Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Jay Ajayi. Todd Gurley. So
I think the running back position more than anything this week, Carlos Hyde. I think the running back position, there's going to be a lot of, second and third string type of running backs, I think, being forced to play on some fantasy teams this week with all those, you know, number one and number two guys out, and there aren't a lot of number one and clear-cut number ones and number twos out there even, you know.
Well, and I'll touch base a little bit on some of the running backs, you know, you could potentially own to replace some of those guys this week too, so as we move on.
Okay. Well, let's quick finish out on the Jags then, and then we'll go into some free agent pickups before going down the games yet then.
Yeah.
Since you might need to do that, you know, before the game's on Sunday. Jags side against this Titans defense, are you rolling? I mean, you're probably rolling out Allen Robinson if you're in a year league and you drafted him, unless you're really deep. Are we getting to the point with him where we draw one of those lines, you know, at some point that we kind of talked about last week as well? Where are we at with the Jaguars offense from a fantasy football standpoint?
Well, I mean, Blake Bortles was just bad. Like, his delivery, everything about his accuracy, everything is just ugly. And it looks bad, and it's not – and it shows, and it's affecting guys like Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson significantly in fantasy. And it makes those guys very hard to want to play every week just because you don't know what Blake Bortles is going to do.
Sure.
Those guys are too good to not – to not contribute. So I don't put it on them more than I do Bortles, but in fantasy, it kind of doesn't matter. It's all about the, you know, the points and who's putting up what. So at some point, I mean, right now for me with that offense, it's just kind of a matchup and week to week basis with, you know, who they're playing, who you have on depth. Like if you can replace an A-Rod, Allen Robinson, you might need to, like you said, if you're deep enough to do it.
Yep.
Blake Bortles, to me, he's droppable. I mean, you can find so many other better options right now. He's just playing that bad, and it's unfortunate because the guy had 35 touchdowns last year, and he's a fantasy stud, but right now it's just ugly. And
right, and there's an Alex Smith or a Joe Flacco or a Marcus Mariota every week in the top five scoring quarterbacks that you can go out and get right now.
Exactly. That's a great point. So nothing on that team really excites me, and then the Titans are eighth against the run so far this year, so Ivory and Yeldon, I mean, on paper at least, you wouldn't expect much from them.
Yep.
And then as long as they can contain, the Titans can contain the Jaguars and, you know, force some of the turnovers from Bortles, and I think they're going to be okay.
Sure.
So I would kind of avoid most of these guys unless Robinson or Hurns are kind of like a must play because of bye weeks and injuries, you know, or depth.
Right, I agree. TJ Yeldon, due to garbage time points, might be one of my PPR deep sleepers.
Borderline
comatose deep sleepers.
Oh, yeah, definitely not relying on him, though.
No, right, for sure. But if you're desperate for something with a little bit of ceiling, you know, there might be something on the Jaguars side that you can find there. Let's get to those running backs then. Who can we look? Like if we're a Hyde owner or a Gurley owner or a Le'Veon Bell owner or a Ajayi, who came out of nowhere. Like, holy cow, there's a lot of running backs that were getting played and being very productive as of late that are all off the board. What are your recommendations?
Well, here's the number one guy to go get if he's still available in a league, and I would drop a lot of players to pick him up right now just because of what is taking effect. So looks like CJ Anderson for the Broncos is going to be out for at least a few weeks, and he's going to go get a second opinion on his knee. He had like a bone bruise or something like that, it sounds like. So that hurt him on Monday. We didn't find out about it until today, but, you know, especially after the waiver wire period going through. So it sounds, you know, if you had an opportunity and he's available and you don't have to put in a claim for him, and you just go pick him up. Devontae Booker, I picked him up right away. And I've actually spent quite a bit of money in one of my leagues to get him yesterday just because I liked the way he played the other night. And I got lucky because I got him, and then you see a guy like C.J. Anderson go down, and I've already gotten a few trade offers for him because so many teams are desperate, you know, for running backs right now because there's so many injured or players on bye week. So to me, Devontae Booker, he's even one of my top starts of the week just because they play the Chargers, and he's going to get the lion's share of the work. He's probably my top guy right now. I think The guy for the Washington Redskins is a good pickup this week. I'm drawing the blank on his name. It's in
Matt Jones?
No. His backup.
Oh, right.
Wow, I'm drawing a blank here. I have him. Let me.
I'm sitting here on the Vikings Digital Diaries fantasy Robert football Kelly. Site, trying to find if Devontae
Brown got, is yep.
available. But he's not.
Oh yeah.
So
oh yep. See, which I expected. You know, if anybody has some of these like ESPN and Bleacher Report notifications, you probably got the notification on him. You know, the fact of C.J. Anderson being out. So. But another guy to me, it sounds like Matt Jones is a little banged up, and he's got some fumble issues. So I would keep an eye on kind of the combo in Washington of a Robert Kelly.
He has some fumble issues. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. And so Robert Kelly, his backup. Well, he's his direct backup. He's the guy to keep an eye on. And then Chris Thompson in PPR leagues has looked like they're going to get him a little bit more involved, just because he's really good out of the backfield and he's reliable for them. So. Those are two guys I kind of like for them, just especially if a guy like Matt Jones is hurt. So those are a few guys for me. And then I do like it's tough because it sounds like Theo Riddick might be back. I don't.
Yeah, I seen the questionable
it's a tough one in Detroit
earlier today.
Yeah.
But who knows what that means anymore? You know?
Right. Exactly. I also kind of like Derrick Henry for Derrick Henry and Alfred
sure.
Morris. I don't know if they're guys you got to start, out of desperation maybe, but I just like those guys because I really like they're the really good handcuffs for Zeke Elliott and DeMarco Murray. Because if either one of those guys goes down, those guys are the number one running backs in that team, and they'll get the workload. They'll get the huge workload. So if you're in deep leagues and you have a roster space, there are guys to keep an eye on.
I don't think Henry's that bad of a play
if you're in a
desperate running back situation at home against the Jaguars. They do a good job of making sure he gets touches every game, and they're not shy to give him the work when they get close to the goal line as well, being such a big bruising back. So, no, that's... Yeah, I don't mind that one either. But again, it's not, you're not rolling with these guys, with running back one potential type of confidence. So hopefully you drafted well enough or made some good pickups up until this point in time.
You're
deep enough on your bench where it ain't too big of a concern for you.
It is tough. I would say, T.J. Yeldon might be a guy. I'm sure he's available in a lot of leagues. Mike Gillisley's a guy, especially with McCoy being questionable. I know it looks like Gillisley's a little banged up too, but if he's good to go, and it sounds like McCoy probably won't be, Gillisley would be the guy for me in that team.
Where are things at, real quick, on the running back situation in Oakland? Is Murray back, or is Washington and Richard or whatever?
Yeah,
are
so
they
it looks
still
like Murray.
Splitting that?
Murray had two touchdowns last week. He looked pretty good. So right now, I'd say for the foreseeable future, he'd be the guy just for the fact that he's the best running back on that roster. So
sure, and I was just curious in case he was still out, then maybe Washington and Rashard would be available.
Even in deep PPR leagues, those are guys to consider as well, just because you might be that desperate. And there might not be much available.